The film which you are about to see is an account of the tragedy which befell a group of five youths, in particular, Sally Hardesty and her invalid brother, Franklin. It is all the more tragic in that they were young. But had they lived very, very long lives, they could not have expected, nor would they have wished to see as much of the mad and macabre as they were to see that day. For them, an idyllic summer afternoon drive became a nightmare. The events of that day were to lead to the discovery of one of the most bizarre crimes in the annals of American history, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Ladies and gentlemen, August Donnelly.
Ladies and gentlemen, turn the radio on and raise your levels. If you don't have a radio, steal one. And if you're in the joint for stealing, break out. It's time for August Donnelly's Full Frontal. That's right, you're tuned in right here on CHRW Radio 94.9 FM, and I'm the man bringing you the half hour of power, wishing you a good day or good evening, depending upon where in the world you are. We have a great show lined up for you tonight. My guest is nothing short of a media icon with a legendary career spanning more than 30 years to her credit. She has acted in big-budget Hollywood films and television, sold countless albums as a top-selling recording artist, and even graced the pages of fashion Bibles such as Vogue magazine. Tonight on Full Frontal, we're joined by the salacious, sexy, and sharp-witted Louise Roby, and she'll be joining us via telephone from her home in the south of France in just a few minutes' time, so make sure you've got a drink and a refill or six, because you don't want to miss this biz-nass. As a point of interest, Louise's husband, renowned fashion photographer Stan Schaefer, who discovered models such as Naomi Campbell, has a new book out which Louise wanted me to mention. So, for those interested, you can go online to stanschaefer.com, and you can view a lot of Stan's work, including his forthcoming book, You Should Have Been With Me. Before we get down to the interview, and all the other good stuff we do here at Full Frontal, it's time for a little section we call August's Audibles. This is the section of the program where we get in your ear by getting down on the most recent song or track I happen to be listening to in my car or on my iPod before pulling into the studio and coming on air to do my thing. So, tonight on Full Frontal, we've got an absolute, irrefutable classic for you. As many of you know, I do enjoy and listen to a wide array of music from different genres, but certain bands and or albums have always stuck with me over the years. With that, tonight I'm going to spin a little something by three kids from New York City, the borough of Queens to be exact, with a little Lou Reed twist. Ladies and gentlemen, roll down the windows and turn up the volume. This is A Tribe Called Quest with their 1991 smash hit, Can I Kick It?, using the kick-ass Lou Reed sample from Walk on the Wild Side. So check it out.
Hey yo, we's having a ball, and you know, they asked me to get on the mic, and they asked me, can I kick it? Words. Can I kick it? Yes, you can.
Kick it to all the people who can quest like a tribe does. Before this, did you really know what live was? Comprehend to the track force, why? Cuz getting mentions on the tip of the vibe buzz. Rock and roll to the beat of the funk fuzz. Wipe your feet really good on the rhythm rug. If you feel the urge to freak, do the jitterbug. Come and spread your arms if you really need a hug. Afrocentric living is a big shrug. A life filled with, that's what I love. A lower plateau is what we're above. If you diss us, we won't even think of. We'll nip of the dog and give a big shove. This rhythm really fits like a snug glove. Like a box of positives, it's a plus love. As the tribe flies high like a dove.
Funky behavior. Make a note on the rhythm we gave ya. Feel free, drop your pants, jack your hair. Ya. Do you like the garments that we wear? I instruct you to be the obeyer. A rhythm recipe that you'll savor. Doesn't matter if you're minor or major. Yes, the tribe of the game with a player. As you inhale like a breath of fresh air.
Yes, yes you can. Man, I love that track, it never gets old. Anyway, if you're just joining us, you're tuned in to August Donnelly's Full Frontal right here on CHRW Radio 94.9, west of the dial. And now, as per usual, we are just about to get down to the listener email. Starting off with a nice note from a nice lady from Brampton. Melissa from Brampton writes, "Hi August, I listen to your show online and on the radio whenever I am close enough to London to pick up the broadcast. I really enjoy the celebrities that you have on your show, and I think it's only a matter of time before George Strombolopoulos is interviewing you on the hour. Keep up the good work. XO." Well, Melissa, that's very flattering, and I'll do my best to keep it off the hook for all and sundry. But, of course, I do try to keep myself grounded by reading, how shall we say, one of the less positive email messages that find their way to me. So, Chuck from Chatham. That sounds like an over-the-hill gigolo, doesn't it? Chuck from Chatham? Anyway. Chuck from Chatham says, "I used to like your show, but I don't anymore. I guess you could say I've changed my mind." That's simple, to the point. Well, Chuck, all I can say is that if you've changed your mind, I hope the replacement works better than your old one because it was shite. That's right, Chuckles. You may not find me entertaining, although I'm willing to wager you can't entertain an idea. So I guess we're even on that, Tiger. Folks, it's time to get down to the interview I mentioned a short while ago. We are joined by actress, model, and musician extraordinaire Louise Roby from her home in France, right here on August Donnelly's Full Frontal on CHRW Radio 94.9 FM. Check it out.
Well, first and foremost, Louise, thank you so much for making some time for the show. I really do appreciate it.
I am more than happy to.
Okay, well, for people who may be unaware, you are indeed one of the great Canadian talents of our generation, having been born in Montreal. However, your education and upbringing happened on foreign soil. Can you tell our listeners what your childhood was like as far as living abroad and how it may have contributed to the worldly person that you are today?
Well, I would say that what it had a lot to do with was I grew up with no hometown, no friends, except the ones I met for 6 months, and probably turned me into the person I became. Yeah, my father was a base commander for fighter pilots, CF-104s, and there's a comic book out on them and everything. But thing is, I never had a stable background in the sense of that I couldn't go home to some town where everybody knew me. Made me into a gypsy.
The actress model gypsy.
Actress model gypsy, yeah. Dancer, singer, songwriter.
Exactly, the multifaceted gypsy. Now, you're indeed well known, of course, to Canadian fans at least, for your role as Mickey on the successful television show Friday the 13th, the series, which ran for several years. What was it like working on Friday the 13th, and do you have any special memories, good, bad, or otherwise, pertaining to your time on the set there?
Well, lots. I can tell you for a start that I got John and Chris to go to Spain. We won an award there, being the number one show in front of the royal family.
Wow.
I sat next to Enrique.
Yeah.
And he had pimples. And he was 13. And his sister on the other side, you know, we had to go up there and do our thing. But I got it done. First class all the way.
Hey, right on. So there you go. You saw Enrique Iglesias long before he was the one that we know today.
That's right. No, the show has been around the world incredibly successful. I'm very proud of it. I was a bit embarrassed, like one is, of when they have got, you know, big hair or bell kind of trousers or something, and then all of a sudden you realize, wow, that was really cool when it was 15 years ago. But Friday 13th, that was the first big production done, American and Canadian, well before there was a Toronto Film Festival
mm-hmm.
or anything going on in that part of the world, my friend.
Very true. So you had big Los Angeles film crews or Hollywood film crews shooting the show in Toronto or in and around Toronto.
I'll tell you a funny story. There
okay.
was a guy who did some very big American things, and he came and he watched us. He looked at us and he says, "Jesus Christ, what a bunch of teenagers." Couldn't believe how young all of us were. Everybody doing it, from the stunt team to everything. The stunt teams were the best, everything. And we were doing it in the dark of night, in freezing cold most of the time,
mm-hmm.
and just really, really making it happen. So I think that Friday the 13th deserves a big, big shout out for being probably the first big Paramount thing going on in Canada.
Absolutely. And now, 20 years later, it's paved the way for so many other things.
Certainly does. They didn't have the Toronto Film Festival back then.
No, you're quite right. Now, while playing the role of Mickey, Louise, did you perhaps have a favorite episode that you worked on while playing that role, or is there one that comes to mind? I know there's lots of bloggers on the internet and things like that that say they have, this was their favorite episode, or this was the scariest. Or did you have a particular favorite, or did you know the cast, did John D. LeMay have a favorite, or Chris?
Oh, well, I can remember a number where John broke his leg or something, and I had to come in and fill in, and my nose hairs failed, and so did my lines. It was so cold. That was the first time. But there's another time where if you look at Wedding in Black,
mm-hmm.
I think it's called, I was in a barn with a guy with a walkie-talkie, and he was a stunt guy, and he was completely plumped up like the Michelin Man,
mm-hmm.
and he had a little thing on his thumb that would ignite him into fire.
Okay.
When he went after me. The thing is, and he was all gelled up, he fell over.
Oh, jeez.
So I did the great humanitarian pro thing, which was to pull him up. I pushed him up. Then I hear the walkie go, "Action." And you want to see some real acting, I come running out in bare feet, bare snow. It's ice on the ground, and I'm running there like hell. And that is acting. I've been with Strasberg. I have acted with Mice, which is Mike's improv comedy experiment. I've done a lot of comedy improv, and never have I had such a frightening experience as that.
I can imagine. Oscar worthy.
There's another one where I thought they said action. I had the walkie in the Merc, in the Mercedes, and I pulled it right down around the corner in the dead dark, about 5 in the morning, and pushed it right onto the big bags, you know, before a camera. And Panasonic, great big $100,000 thingy. And everybody spread because they hadn't said action. But I did it, and I did it perfect. I did it perfect second time also.
It's always the great ones that are never intended, right? never when the camera's rolling. Speaking of that, whatever happened to that beautiful Mercedes? Do you have any idea what happened to that car?
There were two or three of them. I've had a number of the cursed objects, which have been returned to their producers or whatever. I do have the manifest. I do have a couple of things. But whatever happened, I mean, I left. They said, we're done. Just like that. And everybody sobbed on my floor in the trailer as though there was something I was going to do about it. Next thing I knew, all my clothing, including all my Dolce & Gabbana and my Comme des Garçons and everything else, was gone when I went to look for it. So it was all cleared out. Everything. I don't mean to sound bitter, but that's just the way these go. For anybody who's a young actor, be very sure that if they say the show's over, don't get your stuff.
Exactly. Otherwise, it may not be there in the morning. Now, Louise, it's been said that aside from, say, Gillian Anderson and her role as Dana Scully on The X-Files, you are indeed perhaps the first female heroine in the horror and sci-fi genre to be portrayed on television as being multifaceted, you know, in relation to her charm and intelligence and resourcefulness and, of course, sex appeal. How has this reality impacted your career and your sense of self as an actress?
Well, that's very kind of you to ask that, August. I must say that they didn't hire the girl next door. I told them if they'd wanted to, they should have. I made her as humane and as real and as positive as she could be as a woman. That was it. I mean, there was one guy that some young director came on and said, give the girl a broom. And the whole Teamster bunch just stood there silent. They were freaked. They knew me.
Right.
And I basically went after his arse with the broom.
I bet.
So, you know, and then I said, excuse me, Paramount, if you look at the bloopers, I don't know who's putting them out, but somebody is, and you'll see some stuff. It's quite funny.
Out now, of course, is the Friday the 13th, the series DVD box set for the first two seasons, with the third season coming this fall, if I'm not mistaken. What can you tell us about that project and why people should pick up a copy, aside from the fact that, you know, you play a starring role, of course?
Well, because it's probably just as well made. It's we did 1 hour every week. We did ADR, which you know what that is. On a Sunday, so you know you were just freaking out the entire time, and we tried our best to do what we could. I want to mention that I am doing a two box set of CDs.
Yes, absolutely.
Louise Roby Anthology, 1979 to 2009. Over 40 songs on it, and iTunes, you can get Pure Love and Baby Insane on that. which is already out. Those are brand new, totally brand new. And if you want to see anything else, you can see LouiseRoby.com or Louise and Her Creeps, which are by fans, and that sort of thing, and see what's going on there. So we got some stuff going on.
Absolutely. And as far as the MySpace and LouiseRoby.com, is that a good way, Louise, for your fans to send a fan letter or see what's going on with you and your career?
Go to MySpace.com/LouiseRoby, and you can click to Louise Roby's Creeps from there, that sort of thing. Plus, I've got to tell you this, don't get jealous, but Howard Stern wants me.
Oh, really? I can only imagine what for.
I can also, but I'm a redhead, so I can give as good as I get. I don't know what he wants, but I like Robin, so I'll speak to the both of them. But, what other information do you need?
Well, something that just dawned on me while we were speaking there was that, something that immediately comes to mind. In some of your work, you've been credited as Louise Roby, and other work just simply as Roby. Is there a particular reason for this, or is it simply whatever struck your mood at the time?
Yeah, I had a stupid manager who thought I should be called just Roby, like Madonna,
Okay.
So that's where that went. Rick Derringer wanted to produce me. Tons of people wanted to. I'm coming out with this 2-album anthology, which I don't know whether or not you've seen the artwork for it. Yep. Have you or not?
Yes. Dan emailed that to me.
Then, after I get that off my chest, then I'll continue, which I am, which is to write, the Rolling Stones write, and they're 65.
Exactly. You've got many, many years ahead of you.
And Tina Turner and all of them. So there's a lot of stuff that can be done. I got my producer coming over from England to do that in about 6 days' time. And we're just working from there. I'm working on, if there's anybody out there who wants me to, there's some guy in Greece who wants me to do a movie, but if there's anybody else out there, my 14-year-old son is saying, for God's sake, Mama, get out there and sing and act again.
Absolutely, hear. Speaking of acting, actually, Louise, as growing up as a young girl, who were your biggest influences in, as an up-and-coming actress yourself? Did you look up to one or two celebrities in particular?
No, not really. I was one of these people. I had no brain. I didn't think of doing anything. It never occurred to me, to do anything. You'll see that what they say in modeling agencies, for example, less than 3%, like 2%, that walk in actually get accepted. They're normally found on the street.
True.
Somewhere else. As far as singing goes, I was busking in Paris, and Alain Levy is now the head of Universal, put a note in my hat, and hopefully some money, and said, come and see me. And that was my first, recording deal with CBS France. And after that, I did CBS Sony for America and Chrysalis and Polygram and tons of other music, which I produced because I had the money to. And, of course, One Night in Bangkok.
Yes, your big hit in the 80s.
I had a penthouse at 220 Central Park South, and below me was, I won't name names, but he was the producer for ABBA. Yeah. Came up with his wife for dinner, and I just, he said, listen to this. And I listened to a double album thing, and One Night in Bangkok just shocked me, so I got Shep Pettibone, whom Madonna stole from me later. And we did it in 2 hours.
Wow.
One night in Bangkok, and put out the same day as they did. So they can't say it was a cover. RCA tried to put an injunction, but they couldn't. We won. So CBS was allowed to put out the same day. Mine topped the charts and
yes,
jumped onto the Hot 100 and everything. So RCA just went crazy, crazy. Yetnikoff, there are stories I could tell about him. He's a guy that used to run CBS. But, you know, I said, RCA's here, and they're surrounding me. And he said, I've got hemorrhoids and I've got a shit. I said, oh, for God's sake. So I had to go stand outside the door while he did that.
Oh, my God.
And then he came back, and he told RCA off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, Louise, yeah. I was going to say, given that you've obviously done a lot of acting, you've done a lot of modeling, you've been a successful musician, what are your thoughts on, as far as acting and modeling and just a career in media today as opposed to, quite a few years ago now, I guess, when you came up? Is it something that a young girl, should pursue based on your broad experience? Is it, or do people just kind of fall into it?
I would say that they stay very close to their parents, take acting lessons,
mm-hmm.
do it like I did at Strasbourg or Utehagen, something like that,
mm-hmm.
and try very, very hard to make friends, family,
mm-hmm.
as I did with when I fell into doing improv comedy. They became friends and still are. And they were on Taxi and everything. I mean, they were on great shows. Get great coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Study hard. And do not let jealous boyfriends get in the way for girls. Don't let that happen. It's a bad thing. Do your thing and do it seriously. Take it as seriously as carpentry, as seriously as painting, as seriously as a doctor,
mm-hmm.
as seriously as anything like that.
So I suppose at the end of the day, if you don't treat it like a pipe dream, it might not be one. You might end up with some success under your belt.
Well, you might end up like 98% of L.A., which doesn't get a job. Make sure that you know exactly what you're doing. Have your family and friends around you, and if you need help, make sure that you have a mentor. I'm thinking of writing a booklet about this, actually, that people should understand that life does not come wrapped in a big red ribbon. It comes the way it is, and you have got to accept it and think of it as each day is a beautiful day. However, be very certain that you know exactly what you're doing. For example, if I have to go on Howard Stern, I better know my stuff.
Absolutely.
If anybody goes on anything, they have to know exactly what they are doing. Even if it's Jim Carrey, who is as crazy as they come,
mm-hmm.
he can still discuss exactly why and how he did it. It's important to know exactly what it is you want from life, follow your passion, and you're going to get rejection.
Mm-hmm.
There is no doubt about that. But don't let that put you down. You get back up, and you take it, you take the world, and you do it. You
Absolutely.
Just
truer words never spoken. No, Louise, going forward, the best way for fans to contact you would be the website, louiseroby.com, and through MySpace, myspace.com/LouiseRoby.
Yeah, and Louise and her creeps.
Exactly. You don't mind receiving fan mail at those sites?
Oh, no, not at all. I'm going to be very, very good about it and respond to stuff, although I've got so much going on with doing new records and so on and so forth, and working with Stan stuff as well. But we will definitely be there for everybody, and I respect and love everybody that I make their day a bit happier, for God's sake.
Makes the world a better place, doesn't it?
I hope it does, because it did for me, for tons of people.
Louise, it was a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for making some time for the show.
All right, August, you are more than welcome.
Folks, we are all out of time for another edition of August Donnelly's Full Frontal right here on CHRW Radio 94.9 FM. My thanks again to Louise Roby for appearing on the show. It was fantastic to have her. Remember, you can catch us right here on 94.9 FM CHRW Radio or on Rogers Digital Cable, channel 943, Mondays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We're also online anywhere in the world via chrwradio.com and listen for intermittent broadcasts of the show throughout the week. Until next time, if you have any questions for myself or a guest, past or present, send an email to august@chrwradio.com or visit my official website, www.augustdonnelly.com. Tune in again, and you just might learn something.